WDVS, 90.3 FM in Davis. My name is Dr. Randy, and this is Dr. Randy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Thanks very much for tuning in to your local campus and community radio station. I'm very pleased to have you here on the first Wednesday in February, on the first Wednesday of every month. The Poetry Night Reading Series features another poet at Bistro 33 in downtown Davis. Tonight, it is Hannah Block. Hannah Block is a Berkeley-based poet. For 30 years, she taught at Mills College, where for a long time she ran the creative writing program. She's now a professor emerita there, author of 4 books of poetry, and this past January, she by herself was a subject of an entire panel at the Modern Language Association. We will be talking a little bit about Hannah Block this afternoon, and we'll be meeting her in person, or at least I will, this evening at 8 o'clock when she'll be reading her poetry at the Poetry Night Reading Series at Bistro 33. That's tonight at 8 o'clock. For more information, you can visit poetryanddavis.com. Here in the studio, I'll be joined by a guy who is just as curious about technology, social media, and networked learning and collaboration as I am, and that would be Blake Cooper. Blake Cooper is the Outreach and Marketing Coordinator for the UC Davis Education Abroad Center. We're going to talk about the Education Abroad Center. We'll find out what a marketing coordinator does, and we'll just have an extended, casual, and ribald conversation about social media. We'll interrupt it once or twice for poems, for jazz, for public service announcements. But mostly, this will be a technology edition of everybody's favorite poetry and technology program. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We'll be right back. Thank you. We are back. Boy, this is some great music. I've chosen to begin Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. This is Blowing the Blues Away, a Horace Silver tune. Blowing the Blues Away sounds like something I used to hear. One of those MGM musical soundtracks. I think it was Easter Parade with Fred Astaire and Julie Garland. I'll have to check on that during the break. This is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. I'd like to thank Jim calling in from Nevada City just now. Good to have some listeners up there in the foothills. Up there in Nevada City, you've got a number of choices for excellent community-based radio. I appreciate you checking us out here in the valley at 90.3 FM KDVS. Blake Cooper is my guest this afternoon on the program. Blake Cooper is the outreach and marketing coordinator for the UC Davis Education Abroad Center. They help students navigate their ways through their living, traveling, and studying abroad experiences. He's worked in higher education for over 8 years in a variety of facets, including in writing and editing, marketing, academic web services, digital content management, and advancement and alumni relations. He's also the creator of the social network Thinking 10, which encourages creative thought and improvement of writing skills. Members hone their writing, practice, preparation, and editing skills by writing for 10 minutes a day based on daily prompts provided by Blake on his website, Thinking 10. This online writing community has resulted in the publication Thinking 10, A Writer's Playground, a gathering of flash fiction stories written by the talented and committed group of writers from all over the world who participate in Thinking 10. Blake Cooper has just joined us here on the UC Davis campus and has returned to the city of Davis, and I'm very happy to welcome him here to KDVS. Blake Cooper, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you very much, Andy. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you here. I'm sure you're feeling very brave to come down here.
Just a bit, yes.
It's your first week or two in your new job.
Yes.
And you've come on a poetry and technology program. You can do tech, yes. But I'm understanding that I should not ask you a great number of obscure poetry questions this hour.
That would be wonderful if you didn't do that.
All right. I usually do, no matter what the who the guest is, but I'll try to resist this particular hour. So, Blake Cooper, you spent time in Davis, then you left Davis and you went up north, and now you're back in Davis.
I'm back, yes.
Were you born and raised in this city?
I was born and raised in Davis and went to Davis High.
All right.
I needed to leave Davis after graduating. Went to college at St. Mary's College.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, after graduating, went to Seattle and with my wife, and we had a really good 6+ years there, and an opportunity came around to work at the Education Abroad Center, and here I am.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So let's talk about some of these choices you made, your educational and professional choices. First of all, are there still people, I'm sure there are, teaching at Davis High today who were your teachers when you were here?
I haven't been here long enough to know. I think there are, though. That's the rumor.
But you're just back here in Davis.
Just back. I've been back just a little over 2 weeks now.
Right.
Yeah, so it was, everything happened really fast. It was a quick couple of weeks, but the job offer came my way, accepted it all within about a week. I accepted. We rented the U-Haul and made the trip down. So it was, I'm just really, really excited to be back, and especially on campus here. I think growing up, it was, the trips over to campus wasn't a lot, but my mom worked on campus here for over 20 years, so I would come as a kid just to see her for lunches, but
right.
I didn't venture off too much in this area. I did a lot of bowling when I was maybe 10, so at the MU, that's familiar to me, but it was...
It's about, 20 yards away.
I know,
if you
couldn't
could,
believe it.
If you had a shovel, so yeah. And then how about the music scene when you were a high school student? Did you partake of the crazy bands who would play in Freeborn when you were a high school kid?
Not really. No, I was playing sports. I was really focusing hard in high school to get to college. I was working a full-time job, so working 40 hours a week just to get into college, and that was my focus in high school. But
that's great.
I think if I were to do it again, I would probably dive more into theater.
Right.
When I got to college, I had an amazing experience in theater where I was cast as George Gibbs in Our Town, and was given the opportunities, 200 plus lines and hundreds of people in the audience, and I think that really changed the direction I was going. Shortly after that is when I saw a flyer on campus to study abroad, and it was in Spain, and I started to explore those opportunities and options, and within months I was on a plane going to Spain, and a lot of that had to do with the arts and theater and pushing me in that direction and kind of snowballed into what's going on now. So.
That's wonderful. Well, I want to talk more about theater. We've got some theater people coming in the coming weeks on this radio program. And great productions locally. I know you've only been here days, but there's the Department of Theater and Dance, who were putting on shows when you were around as a high school student. Now we've also got the Davis Shakespeare Ensemble.
Oh, wow.
We've got Studio 301 Productions. We've got the Acme Theater Company. And then over in Sacramento, we've got the B Street Theater, which my wife and I support with our subscription. The Sacramento Theater Company. So there are a whole lot of choices. It's a pretty vibrant theater area.
Oh, that's great.
In ways that you might not expect it to be, say, comparing it to Los Angeles or the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
So good choice.
Very good.
What I was going to say about that was this. So why St. Mary's in terms of the choices that you made as a high school student? What drew you over there?
The great books. It was that's what they're focused on. That's the small class sizes, the seminars. I wanted a challenge. I wanted to be pushed, and I knew St. Mary's was going to offer that. I knew I would be able to commit 4 years and work hard and get through the program in 4 years, and it was local. I still wanted to be close, not in Davis, but close to Davis, so I can still come home.
Right.
And with scholarship opportunities, I was given an amazing opportunity, a presidential scholarship that helped fund my education there, that helped fund my study abroad. That's just where I wanted to be. So
that's great. Like me, you met your wife over in Europe.
Yes.
Do you want to tell that story really quick?
It's an emotional story. My wife, Amelia, I met September 10th,
mm-hmm.
2001.
Wow.
It was, a major high to have met her, and we talked and just connected immediately. It was really the first week of the program. We had just gotten there. I met her in an elevator, just incredible. And then everything happened with 9/11 the next day and the devastation. And that was a hard time to be abroad. And I remember, I just met this amazing girl and wanted to obviously that experience. And then something like this happens. It was just really tough. I wanted to come home. I wanted to be with my family and my country. And it was just a really difficult time. But it's partly why I'm in study abroad now and outreach and marketing is it was the most powerful experience that I ever had. It was truly the pinnacle of my college experience. And to be there during a time like that with what would end up being my future wife was life changing truly but we met in the elevator and it's just we've been married 6 years. We have gone back to Spain. She's half Spanish and,
uh-huh.
and we got married in Spain and are looking to go back soon, and it's just such a big part of our lives. So
that's wonderful. Well, if you're just joining us, Blake Cooper is my guest. He's the outreach and marketing coordinator for the UC Davis Education Abroad Center. We're going to be talking about marketing and outreach and social media on this edition of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. But before we do, let's hear this message from the sponsor of today's program, the Yolo Federal Credit Union. We'll be right back.
This hour of programming is brought to you courtesy of the Yolo County Federal Credit Union. The Yolo County Federal Credit Union is a nonprofit financial cooperative with locations throughout Yolo County. The Yolo County Federal Credit Union offers a wide range of financial services and can be reached by phone at 530-668-2700 or online at yolofcu.org.
This is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM, Davis. Thanks for tuning in. I mentioned at the top of the hour that Hannah Block will be reading her poetry tonight at Bistro 33 as part of the Poetry Night reading series. Hannah Block is the author of four books of poetry, The Secrets of the Tribe, The Past Keeps Changing, Mrs. Dumpty, and Blood Honey. She's also an award-winning co-translator of a great number of books of Israeli poetry, as well as the biblical Song of Songs, and six books of contemporary Israeli poetry, including the selected poetry of Yehuda Amichai. Her poetry has been published in all the best journals, including The Nation, The New Yorker, Poetry Magazine. She's also had her poems reprinted in the Best American Poems. Hannah Block will be reading tonight at 8 o'clock at Bistro 33, 226th Street here in the city of Davis. You can find out details on Facebook or at poetryindavis.com. This is Dr. Andy with Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour, introducing all of you to Blake Cooper, who is the brand new Outreach and Marketing Coordinator for the UC Davis Education Abroad Center. And I want to get to that job in a few minutes, Blake, but first, tell us, what was it that brought you up to Seattle?
I wanted something new. We just graduated. My wife went to St. Mary's as well, and I had family up in Seattle at the time, and wanted to just try something new. And worked a couple of really great jobs. I worked for a company called Screen Life, which made the DVD board game Seen It. We worked with the film studios and TV and all the major film studios in LA we partnered with and built these great games. And so I was in marketing and sales in that, and then an opportunity came around to work at the University of Washington and the Daniel J. Evans School of Public Affairs. That's, you know, I'd worked in higher ed in college. It's where my passion's always been, and this was a The University of Washington is a great school and really committed faculty. And so I jumped on that the minute it came my way. And
that's great.
I was there about 5 years doing a lot of different things, a lot of academic services, student services, worked in the dean's office, communications and marketing. And that's where a lot of the social media, emerging media, new media started to really click for me. That's I wanted to pretty much dive in as these services started to come about, like Facebook and Twitter. So
that's great. Well, with Microsoft being right there, it's certainly one of the centers of new media thinking, thinking that impacts upon technology, software, new discoveries in ways to use networks, etc. A lot of people who are drawn to higher education have a background in education, but yours is more in business, isn't it?
It is.
Among other things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's business, and economics is what I studied in college.
Right. Yeah. And so what is it about higher education that draws you in or that attracts you?
Well, for me, I just don't think there's anything more important. I really don't. I think the time that you're there, the 4 years that you're there, 5 years sometimes or more, your graduate studies, it attracts great minds. It attracts just a really good group of people committed to wanting to change things up and do things like studying abroad and kind of pushing the envelope and some of these research and it's just really, for me, it's about the students. It's about connecting students. It's about helping students navigate oftentimes really complex systems and big schools, big universities. It's a passion, you know, it really is to be able to help students and work with students. With the focus with communications and marketing, I just think there's such an opportunity, especially right now, to help connect students. And I think that's why I committed 5 years up there at the university. It's funny, about a couple of months ago, I was recruited by Microsoft and started working at Microsoft, actually. And then this opportunity at the university came my way shortly after. And it was obvious to me where my passion was. I mean, you can't fight that. You can't go away from that. It's where I want to be. I want to be around this vibrant environment. So
that's great. I agree with you. I guess what you're describing about working at Microsoft but being drawn to higher education is something I hear quite often on this radio show, where I interview a great number of poets. But it turns out that many of them, including award-winning poets, actually work in the tech industry or as technical writers or as engineers. Brad Henderson, who will be reading a couple poems at the poetry reading at Bistro 33 tonight, he has a degree in engineering. A lot of these folks, they're pleased that they have jobs, that they're making money. Almost always making more money than I do, for example. But they're drawn to something. They're drawn to something outside of the technical world, the business world. For you, you talked about higher education. For many folks who don't have that particular outlet, they use poetry or creative writing as an outlet to necessarily explore that creativity so that they can maintain their connection to something beautiful or transcendent while still paying the bills and paying the mortgage.
Absolutely.
So, I know to a certain extent that's true for you as well. And Blake Cooper is my guest. Let me interrupt myself to tell everyone listening at home that Blake Cooper is here. He's the Outreach and Marketing Coordinator for the UC Davis Education Abroad Center. He is a tech whiz, especially in the realm of social media. We're going to talk more about that in the second half hour of this program. But let's get started by talking about this online writing community called Thinking 10 Writers Playground. Where were you in your professional life that you created this? And I know that this is mostly a nocturnal activity, the work that you do on behalf of this community.
Yes.
Can you say a little bit about how that came about and how you're able to juggle these two lives?
I started this in April of last year. To me, my big idea came a couple of months before that, before I launched the site. I was on a bus doing the commute, the Seattle commute, which is brutal, to say the least. So I was commuting, and I just wanted to... I wanted to build something for people. I wanted to build a platform and a network for people that had that urge we were just talking about, who may not be New York Times best-selling authors, but who have a passion to write. And I started doing research on what type of communities are out there, what type of options are out there, and I just wasn't finding what was in my head. I wasn't able to. I couldn't see it anywhere. And the sites that did have it were very, they were very cluttered. I have a philosophy, a very simple philosophy when it comes to online and trying to really simplify things. And the design of some of these sites and the ideas behind them was just very cluttered and complicated.
Right.
So I wanted to build thinking10.com to just bring writers together certainly I have a purpose and it's themed writing prompts. That's the basis of the site. Each day, like on location Monday, we'll have a bench on a cobblestone street. That's the theme for Mondays. On Tuesday, it's take it away. So I provide a prompt, a first sentence prompt. And then Wednesday, I pick, two or three words, and I provide that they'll have to somehow incorporate these into their stories. Thursday is a plot thickens. I'll pick something like a deck of cards, and somehow they have to incorporate that into their story. And then on Fridays it's members pick, so they'll submit their ideas. And every weekend I then provide a what's called a weekend canvas, which is an image that I find, a painting, and I post that on the site. And the whole point of the site is basically to write whatever comes to mind. You have 10 minutes, write whatever comes to mind, just improvise.
Right.
And it's really, you take 10 minutes to write it. You can edit for as long as you want. But it's what I'm trying to highlight as the underlying part of the site, as well as I want you to come every day. I want you to commit. I want you to get in your reps, and then I want you to leave. I don't want this site. I wasn't trying to replicate anything where really a time suck. I wanted certainly to put themselves out there and to build a community that was comfortable, and that's what's happening. There's writers from all over the world. I think it's been over 23, 24 countries where they've come and participated, and it's been such a journey for me, and it's just been a lot of fun. I really wanted to test the boundaries. I wanted to go beyond Facebook. I wanted to go beyond Twitter and build these communities that I think people are going to want more of. I think I really wanted to take engagement to a new level, and I think that's what I was after. So
that's great. Well, Blake Cooper is my guest, and he is the creator of this website, this forum that we've just been talking about, called Thinking 10, a Writer's Playground. We are going to take a quick break. We're going to hear from the Linux Users Group of Davis, a longtime supporter of KDBS, and we're longtime supporters of that nonprofit organization. And then when we come back, after just a little bit of Horace Silver jazz, I'm going to ask Blake to share with us some examples of the sort of things that people were writing or some experiences that he had in running Thinking 10. You're listening to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. My name is Andy Jones, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
The Linux Users Group of Davis, or LUGOD, is a nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting the Linux computer operating system and other open source products as an alternative to expensive, proprietary, and monopolistic software. LUGOD meets in Davis on the first Tuesday and third Monday of each month. For more information, visit LUGOD's website at lugod.org or contact Bill Kendrick at 530-759-1019. Or via email at root@lugod.org.
This is Dr. Andy of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour with an important message. Enotria Restaurant and Wine Bar reminds us that Americans from all walks of life, both professionals and volunteers, have dedicated themselves to stopping the spread of AIDS and finding a cure. Being better informed and sharing information with others may save our own lives or the lives of loved ones. Don't turn your back on the AIDS dilemma. The future is in our hands. This reminder is brought to you by the staff at Enotria Restaurant and Wine Bar in Sacramento. You may visit them online at enotria.com. They are on the air because they care about the people in this community. You are listening to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. Blake Cooper is my guest for the full hour. He is the Outreach and Marketing Coordinator for the UC Davis Education Abroad Center. That's an impressive title, Blake. He's only had it for a couple weeks now. He's just moved back to Davis from Seattle. And already I've looped him in to the KDVS family, insisting that he come down here to talk about his interesting work. We were talking before the break about Thinking 10, which is an online social network that you created to encourage writers, mostly writers of what we call flash fiction, to share their work and to find prompts and reasons to keep writing and to keep their take their writing seriously. For people at home who don't know, what, Blake Cooper, is flash fiction?
It is quick, short fiction, at least in the context of Thinking 10, it's 10 minutes.
Right.
So it's sometimes it's five sentences, sometimes it's four paragraphs. Some people can write a lot in 10 minutes, but it's usually relatively short, quick fiction.
Do you ask people to set a timer?
On the site, there is a clock.
Oh, really?
There is. But it's not anything that counts down. It's something that usually we know when somebody takes a little bit too long. And when I was publishing the book, I usually didn't include stories that were obviously longer than 10 minutes. But it was more of the idea, the thinking of committing 10 minutes a day to writing.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. I want to hear more about this book. To a certain extent, it is a book full of rough drafts, meaning something that was written over a 10-minute time period, and then the pen goes down, mm-hmm. or the fingers come off the keyboard, and that's what you have. Tell me more about the process. How did you decide which of these flash fiction pieces to include in your book, Thinking 10, A Writer's Playground?
Sure, yeah. This version of the book was my way to celebrate the members and all of their hard work. There are people that can't come every single day and commit the time, and each of them have their own path, I think. They're growing at different levels, and this was a way for me to bring some of the more popular stories. On the site, there's a way of tracking certain pages that have more hits, certain comments. A lot of what drives a site like this and a community like this is not only getting your reps in, mm-hmm. and this is something I highlight, but it's also offering feedback. And so it's supporting the members of that community, and in this case, Thinking 10, reading the other stories, offering some feedback. It's amazing to see. Somebody will put their thoughts out there, put themselves out there, and the community is just so just graceful, and they're so passionate, but they're offering constructive criticism. Some of the members really need that. They're using these stories to submit for other publications. They're using the stories to learn. So the community has really come together, and they're offering really, you know, this sentence, not so much. Let's, you know, I would rework this, or this word, not so much. So it's a way of having, it's really a way of just the community of writers to come together and learn from one another. How I chose the stories, again, it was some of the more popular ones, for me, ones that really stood out. I worked a little bit with some of the other members. I just put a lot of time. There was about 4 months I committed to the book, and wanted to include as many people as I could, but I wanted the best stories in there. And this version of the book is more of a like you said, a rough draft, where it's a community manuscript type of book, where the next version, is probably going to be half the size of this one, much more selective. But this was a way to introduce to freshman college classrooms and professors as a textbook of sorts, maybe to put on the extra part of the syllabus of diving in and learning about publications and learning about the process that I went through as an editor, giving feedback on certain stories. Again, the stories are just really great, but some of them just need some work. So there's a big vision I have for this, but at this point, it's slowed down a little bit because of the opportunity at the Education Abroad Center.
That's great. We can't mention prices on the air, but you can tell us where can we find a copy of this book, Thinking 10, A Writer's Playground, edited by Blake Cooper?
Sure, thinking10.com. It's right on the site. There's a flash wheel right when you sign it, go to the site. I am really pushing the other publications. The ads that I have up are from the community members who have published on Amazon. So some of them have gone on to publish. I have this flash wheel on the site, and my book, their book, is included in that as well. So
that's great. And the prompts themselves, it sounds like it would be six prompts a week of one sort or another.
Mm-hmm.
The weekend canvas is one image for them to work on both Saturday and or Sunday if they choose.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you get these prompts? Are you finding them in your reading? Are you just like walking to work and they're occurring to you? Are they coming out of conversations that you've had with some of the community members? Where do you get these prompts?
All of the above. I mean, it really, part of why I built the site, and it selfishly was, I wanted to be creative. I wanted to do something creative. I didn't want to just build this social network and this publishing platform. I wanted to also participate, especially at the beginning. I was able to throw some stories up there. I wish I could have done it more, but it took a lot to build the site to where it is now. To literally all I'm doing at this point is coming home from work, committing that time before bed to come up with the prompt. So, you know, talking with my wife, it's always, you have any ideas? You know, I'll bounce some ideas off, and it's really whatever I can do. It's not easy, I'll tell you.
I'm sure.
Some of the days are really, like on Tuesdays where I have to come up with the first sentence that they're going to use, that's a tough day for me.
Right.
You know, and especially after all of these months, I've literally committed every day, and whether it's Christmas or New Year's, or it doesn't matter, it's going to be there. And even if no one writes, which that hasn't happened yet, everyone, there's always been someone to write, or more people, multiple people, and it's just going to be there. I want it to be a place where people can depend on it, and that's what's happened. It really is something. I get it the night before at 9 p.m. So on the East Coast, it's midnight. And I have a lot of international members, so when they wake up in the morning, the prompt's right there for them, so they appreciate that. But it's really inspiration from anywhere and everywhere.
That's great. Well, Blake Cooper is my guest. He is the outreach and marketing coordinator for the UC Davis Education Abroad Center. He's a brand new hire. He came to town, 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago, back to the city of Davis, where he attended elementary school and high school. Where did you go for your elementary school education?
I Birch Lane,
mm-hmm.
And then over to North Davis.
Yeah.
And then Davis High.
Excellent. And so your family lived kind of in the northern, or excuse me, in central, east central part of Davis.
Mm-hmm.
And what neighborhood do you and your wife and daughter call home now?
We're in South Davis, which is a new area for me. But yeah, I mean, when the job came my way, it was, you know, where do we go to get daycare and where do we live? But everything just came into play. I mean, we found a house immediately, you know, daycare, magically a spot opened up in a place that usually was, right, you know, a whole year wait list, and it, everything just happened. But we're over in South Davis, just 5-10 minutes from campus, which I tell you, after Seattle, it's great.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I told my wife yesterday that I was able to hit my new record in my bike commute home, which was about 9 minutes from Voorhees Hall to my South Davis home. And it's a great feeling to know that you can get home so quickly on your own pedal power when there are so many who spend so many hours in cars.
Exactly. And now with I have a 22-month-old daughter, right, so to be able to come home and see her and spend time with her, it's a major reason we chose Davis. Obviously the job and the other factors, but you know, the small town, there's just literally nowhere better for us than Davis.
Yeah, I agree with you. We're all very self-congratulatory on choosing Davis as our hometown. I don't know what your hometown is, but you're listening to KDVS, 90.3 FM in Davis, serving the entire Sacramento Valley and everywhere else via the World Wide Web. When we come back from this musical break, we will hear from Ricardo Montalban. He's going to tell us about Shriners Hospitals. And then we're going to talk some more about emerging media and social networking with my guest, Blake Cooper. This is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Many ways to measure success. For the Shriners, it's the nearly 700,000 children with orthopedic and burn problems that they've helped. This is Ricardo Montalban. For over 80 years, the Shriners have provided state-of-the-art medical care to kids all over North America, totally free of charge. There is a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area. If you know a child that the Shriners might be able to help, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years. Thank you.
This is Dr. Andy of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour, reminding you that Hannah Block will be reading her poetry tonight at Bistro 33, the subject of an entire panel at the most recent meeting of the Modern Language Association. Hannah Block is the author of 4 books of poems, including The Secrets of the Tribe, The Past Keeps Changing, Mrs. Dumpty, and Blood Honey. The book awards of Hannah Block include the Poetry Society of America's D. Castagnola Award for Blood Honey, the Felix Pollack Prize in Poetry for Mrs. Dumpty, and the Penn Award for Poetry in Translation. She also won the Book of the Year Award from the Conference on Christianity and Literature for her book, Spelling the Word. Hannah Block will be reading tonight at Bistro 33 at 8 o'clock. Blake Cooper is here. And Blake, do you think that it was more your enthusiasm about social networking or the fact that you had created an entire social network yourself with Thinking 10 that most helped you get that job as outreach and marketing coordinator for the UC Davis Education Abroad Center?
That's a good question. I think it was both for sure. Yeah. There's no doubt that, you know, having made the decision to create this network and just go with it, I mean, it was one of those things where I think we all have ideas. We all have that journal that we're writing, you know, big plans and these big thoughts. And I just wanted to do something. You know, I wanted to actually create and to be able to even make mistakes and just see what it's all about, because I was committed to going beyond Facebook. I really wanted to make something and create something for people who were passionate about something specific. And I've always been very passionate about the new and social media, but I've loved studying it. This position was a natural fit for me, because I want to change the game. I really want to change engagement. I really want to apply some of the lessons that I learned with Thinking 10 and that I'm learning with it, and bring it to higher ed and to connect students. I want to, especially in this context, this job is a dream job for me. I mean, it literally is a dream job, having studied abroad, knowing how important it is, and then with all of these opportunities to connect and reach out to people and talk with students and talk with parents and talk with alumni and just bring them together and start having a conversation and start getting ideas out there and start getting advice out there and networking, bringing together LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook. And my vision is to hopefully build something similar in this job. And I don't know how we can do it or what we can do, but I just know it can work. I know how to build these types of communities. And I think it's just a matter of going for it and seeing what happens. But it's definitely a passion. And I know that helped with getting this job. But it was a passion for emerging media, a passion for studying abroad and the power of that. And I think more importantly, a passion for just wanting to help students. I mean, I really want to provide that service to students and make sure that they're getting the value that they deserve on campus. I know that sounds a little cheesy, but it's totally true with me. I mean, that's every student that walks into the center, I want to be able to help. And we have this incredibly passionate group at the Education Abroad Center. And we have peer advisors to greet the students when they walk in and to really try and match their interests and trying to find that experience and that program for them, and to help them. And when they're abroad, we want to be able to help them when they're abroad. And when they come home, we want to help them when they come home. And this position is I'm learning. It's only been a few weeks, but there's so much opportunity to do that. And I'm just excited to dive in. And I've already begun that process and started to meet people. But I'm just so impressed with the team there, and it's truly one of those situations where I don't feel like I'm working. And again, I didn't know if that existed. I always heard about it. It exists, and I'm doing it right now. And I'm just lucky to be able to go to work every day and just start working hard. Yeah,
that's great. Now, when you talk about emerging media for people who might not know precisely what to attach to that team, what do we refer to by emerging media, and how is that different from or maybe overlapping with social media?
Emerging media to me is what I did with Thinking 10.
Mm-hmm.
It's building platforms that are very specific. I think it's always changing. There's always new companies and services out there, and some really exciting ones, I think. I came across one just a few weeks ago called Intersect.com. It's a Seattle startup. You know, we don't know what's going to happen with these companies, but they have an idea. They have a vision to connect people and to give a platform and build a platform so people can start telling stories. And to me, that's emerging media. That's what it's all about. I think some of these companies are doing great things. And what I want to do, again, is build something as well and really take it to the next level here on campus and reach out to meet, I think, match those goals that we have of really internationalizing the campus. There's just so many opportunities there, and I think emerging media provides a ton of those opportunities.
That's great. With regard to the UC Davis Education Abroad Center, we've already talked about how you studied abroad in Spain when you were an undergraduate at St. Mary's. To give us a sneak preview of some of the plans that you might bring about, how do you imagine that emerging media and social media can help students, as you said before, gain value from the education abroad experience?
I think one of the areas that I want to focus on is development mm-hmm. and alumni relations. There's so many people out there who went through this. They had this experience that changed their lives. And one of the hardest things about this experience that I had was what happened when I came home. It was this, all these, you went to these amazing places and you met these amazing people, and I live with a family in Spain, and you come home and things feel a little bit different, and you don't really want that to end. What I would love to do is start reconnecting alumni and start getting them involved. And I, again, there's so much that I need to learn about this job and the center, but I know that there's an opportunity there to start reaching out to those alumni using sites, social sites like LinkedIn, which I think is going to be a really, really big player coming up. It already is big, but it's going to be even bigger.
Yeah.
And using sites like that to start reaching out and talking with them about what they're doing now. How did studying abroad get and help them get to where they're at? And then I think more importantly, it's connecting everyone together. It's connecting the students who are thinking about it. It's connecting the students that are there right now, taking photos and videos and art projects, giving them a platform to share this. And again, then it's the alumni. It's really bringing that study abroad family together. And I think all along, really encouraging people who haven't done it to just check it out. You know, come by the center, see what we have available. We have so many different options available. And again, just a really committed and dedicated staff. So I think it's a balance between the emerging media, the social media, and then the traditional. You know, still doing the flyers, still doing the posters, but, you know, using all of these things to just get in front of one another and start talking and having coffee and just taking it to that next level. Again, that's what I think I mean by, you know, taking engagement to the next level.
That's great. I'd say that one of the grand ironies, if we can call it this, is using all these different forms of mediation, in other words, different ways that we use networks to connect with one another. And mediation often has a pejorative sense for some people in that, you know, we tell people who spend too much time playing video games or tooling around Facebook, you know, why don't you actually live your life? Why don't you, like, talk to real people? that ironically, you're using all of these mediation tools in order to help people have some of the most intense experiences of their life, and that is to absent themselves from everything that they've grown used to in terms of, oh, especially, say, television, and to go to a faraway place where all the intensity comes not from pixels, but from architecture and art and vistas that they've never seen before and people whose lives have been radically different from theirs. And it's such an exciting prospect. Mm-hmm. It's one that, one advantage that you have is that it should sell itself for the student who can realize its value.
Exactly.
And I think ironically, it's because we're so immersed in these different forms of mediation, these different technologies, mm-hmm. that students, one would hope, the light bulb would go off and say, I need to like spend some time escaping this, mm-hmm. and go see what else is going on in the world.
Exactly. And I think ultimately what we're talking about, and certainly what I think about when I think of social media, emerging media, where it's going, I think it can all be summed up with, I think the idea of storytelling. I think we all want to tell a story. We all have our own stories, and these are platforms. What I want to build for the campus here and for the Education Abroad Center, and I want to build a platform where people can tell those stories. And I think it's a powerful – we've been doing it for forever, and I think it's a powerful opportunity. I think it's just an exciting time.
That's great. We're coming up on the end of the hour. I know you've only worked at the Education Abroad Center for a couple of weeks, but have you memorized their web address?
Yes, it's eac.ucdavis.edu.
Excellent. So students at home, if you have not yet studied abroad, and let me just tell you that Blake and I both met our spouses overseas. If you have not yet studied abroad, and you have been inspired by this conversation, which I'm sure is the case, then head over to eac.ucdavis.edu, and you can find out more about the center, about Blake Cooper, and about the great number of places that await you as a student at UC Davis. So, Blake, we're going to play one more message from our sponsor, the YOLO Federal Credit Union, and then we'll have some final words of wisdom from you.
Okay, sounds great.
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, with more of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
This hour of programming is brought to you courtesy of the Yolo County Federal Credit Union. The Yolo County Federal Credit Union is a nonprofit financial cooperative with locations throughout Yolo County. The Yolo County Federal Credit Union offers a wide range of financial services and can be reached by phone at 530-668-2700 or online at yolofcu.org.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've come to the end of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Blake, you did a great job. Thanks for coming on the radio show.
Thank you so much, Andy. I appreciate it.
I'm sorry that we didn't get to much poetry. Next time, 24 hours of complete poetry, you and I.
Bring it.
All right. And remember, you can visit the Education Abroad Center at eac.ucdavis.edu. And you can visit me. I don't know why you'd want to, but you can visit me as I get to introduce tonight Hannah Block. She will be the featured poet at the Poetry Night reading series at Bistro 33 starting in about 2 hours. Thanks very much to Blake Cooper, and thanks very much to all of you for tuning in to another edition of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Stick around for some